working through this Advent season, getting close to Christmas, we have been really looking into this Old Testament and looking at the things that the Old Testament people grabbed a hold of. And, you know, as Jake started out with the expectation of Christmas, and then 2 weeks ago I talked about the doubt of Christmas, the doubts of the things to come, and then last week Jake talked about the hope of Christmas. This week we kind of talk about the solution to these Old Testament people's struggles. And this is a tough question. What do you think the solution was? Jesus. Yeah, you win. Usually the kids just shout this out and the adults are slow. But, you know, this is the main point. It's pretty simple. This is what we're celebrating on Christmas. Christ has come. For all those Old Testament things, all they were looking forward to, all what they had their hope on, all what they waiting for, is something that we as New Testament Christians are very blessed. We're simply looking back and being like, woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. Not looking forward. Thank you, Jesus. Unbelievable difference. Now, as we kind of look into this, Old Testament books, you know, I went to seminary, and in seminary you get to hit lots of scriptures, and you can't possibly hit them all. And the Old Testament books that they hardly touch at seminary is Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. There's a very basic reason for why not. Anyone know? No, they're long. These are long books, okay? They don't have time to go through all these verses. They don't have time. So these are the books that, truthfully, these are books I have learned since being a pastor the last 15 years, growing in this. And Isaiah is a book that, for me, it just kind of keeps jumping up, you know, because I rate my books, you know. What's the best book, you know? Romans. But, you know, I think it's in the top five now. Isaiah, in his time, and he's in a rough time. There's no question. Israel is fallen apart. Of the four kings before the destruction of Israel, the four kings are all lousy. Lousy kings, all right? Everything is falling apart, and Isaiah is sent to try to wake up these people. Isaiah is sent, and it's not happening. And the book of Isaiah is all the harsh things said by Isaiah to these people to wake them up, but also because of where it's going, no question, Isaiah is also looking forward. The book of Isaiah has more references to this birth of Christ, to this coming of the Savior, than any of those Old Testament prophets. And there's no question about that. And so it's a powerful book as we think about this Christmas season, what those Old Testament people were so grabbing a hold of. Now, I will say to you, and this is a strange direction, but I think it's important. Of books of the Bible, Isaiah is the second largest, right? The second largest book. What's the largest book of the Bible? Psalms. See, you guys know there's 150 chapters in Psalms. There's 66 chapters in Isaiah. So, okay, so there is a grand difference, right? Isaiah's like one-third the book that Psalms is. Except, here's a fascinating thing. If you now look at how many verses there are, Isaiah's got half the amount of verses as Psalms does. Longer verse chapter. So many more that it's half the amount of verses that Psalms have. And here's a fascinating fact. The words of Psalms. Are you ready? 4,300 or 43,000 words in the book of Psalms. 27,000 words in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, when you get down to the actual words in it, is like just one-fifth less than Psalms. Didn't know that, did you? Why are these so long, these verses? Sometimes you read these Old Testament books and you're like, my goodness, that verse is like a chapter long. What's going on? And this is a powerful part of this Isaiah. You know, Isaiah used a very different form. It's very different in how it works. Parallelism. Gotta get that word right. Parallelism. It does everything a little differently. There's parallelism. There's different forms of parallelism used in this. I'm not going to go into all that detail. But what happens, if you want to turn to chapter 9, because we're going to be hitting chapter 9, loaded with this Christ prediction, the parallelism is powerful. Chapter 9, which we read before, verse 2, and what that is it's a repeat. It's a verse that doubles its words because it repeats itself. And it says sometimes exactly the same thing. Sometimes there's a slight tweak in the second half. But as it starts, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them his light is shown. So it's repeat, right? And what's great about a repeating, it's clear as day what it's saying, right? It makes it so evidently clear. This one, not hard. The darkness of the world, and there is light. And the light is powerful. I can't imagine that you don't ever think the world is dark, no question. But just like Isaiah, this is a tremendous theme trying to grab hold. There is darkness. He's in a time where Israel has fallen apart. He's in a nation that is not seeking God. Maybe there's some relationship with us. We see the brokenness of the world. We see the struggles. We experience the struggles. There is darkness around us, but there is a great light. And this is where he's getting ready to talk about this coming Christ. There is a light for us. No matter what we face, there's hope. No matter what we go through, there's light. There's looking forward to the things that are ahead. And it's a powerful start of this, you know, that we have this light. Now, Isaiah, as he goes forward on in verse 3, right? You know, so we know we have these two repetition. This time, he says, you have increased its joy. They rejoice. And then, as with joy. All right, so there's a, what's the light? The light has brought joy into these people. Despite the broken times, there is joy in all these things. And as he says, as with joy at the harvest. You know, the Old Testament is filled with these moments set aside for something. Some set aside to remember the God bringing them out of Egypt. All right? There are also traditional times set aside to rejoice. The harvest is a great example. You're about ready to get all this food, and there is this official time set aside for the people of God, not to just to give thanks and say, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, we have food to eat. To me, that's what Halloween. That's exactly what we do this Christmas. This is a time to stop all the messes, to stop all the off-trackness. Now, Halloween is a funny thing because on Halloween, we have our harvest festival. You didn't know that was a biblical-based thing. This is in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, that there is this harvest festival. We call it Halloween, but we have our harvest. It's a big deal because this is an important thing. If we are going to keep the eyes on what God is saying about the light that we have, sometimes one of the biggest things getting in the way is losing sight of what God has done. I know we live in a country where everyone's always, you know, focus on the right now, right now, right now. God always, even in the Old Testament, as they're looking forward to what's to come, they remember what God has done. The next verse goes into this. For the yoke, right, the yoke that grabs hold of us, the things that just trap us, the things that grab hold of us, all right, this is, you have broken it. You have broken it as on the day of Midian. Now you guys are saying, what is the day of Midian? What are you talking about? What he's doing is he's looking forward to what the promise is, but his strength, his absolute confidence in the promise of God comes through the reminders of the things I have done. 2 weeks ago, as I was getting ready for this service, I talked about Gideon, who was getting out of Midian. I mean, this is another reference. I'm just going through. Oh, well, here we are again. Gideon, who is in a deep struggle time, but with his eyes focused, because guess what? We hear the story of Gideon. What we discover? He brings peace to the people of Israel, where they're not fighting, where they're not getting beaten on, where they're not getting stolen from all the time. And this is what God is referencing. Just as I did this for you in this time, grab hold of the promise I'm making about the future. I think a great thing for each of us is sometimes for us to look back and say, oh, yeah, God did this, I'm facing this, but there's a promise of this. Just like he did this, he's going to do this. It's a powerful part as we walk through this life of faith in him. And, you know, this is in verse 5, then it kind of goes forward and it looks at the, you know, the battles are finished, they're wiped clean, everything's gone, no more battling, no more fighting. This is kind of, that's what Gideon got from Midian. Anyway, that's what Gideon got for a time, because God had made his promise. God had made his promise. And there is a light shining to the people of Israel in the time of Isaiah. It's a broken time. It's a broken world. There's hard things happening. But there's a light. There's a light shining. And it's not hard to say, as we get ready for Christmas, what that light was. For to us, verse 6, a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. He's going to take over. And his name will be called. And this is great, because you can look down at your scripture, or you can look up on our. You know, years ago when they were deciding to make new ones of these, and they came up with different options, and which one, Chris? And I'm like, woo, Isaiah, definitely Isaiah. Because what it says, we have something coming. This is our hope. This is our light. This is our joy. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What we do on this Christmas day is not thinking, oh yeah, God saved us. Oh yeah, you know, salvation is ours. That's not it. This isn't talking about Christ's return. This is talking about now. We have a wonderful Counselor. The Christ who died for us is the one who is there for us whatever we face. I counsel many people, and I am a crappy counselor compared to him. And he's there. He's there. A wonderful Counselor, guiding, directing, bringing us peace in the midst of the hard times. A mighty God. I'm pretty sure we live in a world that's not all that God-focused. It's not all that, you know, sometimes it's hard to see how God's winning the battle here. But we have. This is what Our light is shining. There is a mighty God. Whatever we face, we have the power of God. He's with us. In fact, are you ready? Sometimes we get so we beat ourselves up at, oh, I keep making mistakes, and maybe God doesn't love me. Everlasting. Everlasting Father. Father that never gives up on us. A Father that's always there for us. I'm much better a dad than I am. He is the Father. This isn't talking about the future. It's talking about for Isaiah, his people at that time. For us, he's talking about us at this time. Everlasting. Never letting go of us, Father. And then the biggest to me, Prince of Peace. This is not talking that someday we'll go to heaven and have peace. This is talking about what the Savior Jesus brings into this world. Our hope, our strength, our counseling, our established one that will never give up, and our peace. I love the Halloween time of year. People are coming to me and they're saying, oh, I'm like, happy Halloween. They're like, ah, this is exciting. How are you? Oh, I'm a little jammed. You know, got all these services. Pastor Jake may have a baby and now I have to double my services or something crazy like that. But you know what? I'm excited. How can I not be excited? How can I not be excited for this time of year? Because I can tell you the truth. This is the time of year where God is not wanting us to, you know, I want you to see your mistakes. I want you to beat yourself up a little. I want you to correct some things that are wrong in your life. Christmas. This is not the time. This is the time for us to look to Him and simply, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is this light in the darkness of my life. Thank you, Jesus. There is a reason for joy no matter what I face. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever we face, the yokes that grab hold of us, Jesus has set us free. Nothing grabs hold of you that is greater than the God who has you in His hands. This is a time to celebrate. It's a kind of a strange sermon. What are you telling me to do, Chris? Nothing. Just appreciate the coming of Christ. You know, as it gets down to the very end of this, chapter 7, and I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to wrap it up. Verse 7, excuse me. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God doesn't do this because, oh, we need it. God doesn't do this because, he's got a habit to do this. He is a God filled with zeal. And this Christmas season, receive the zeal of our Lord. Rejoice, celebrate what God has done for you. Just be filled with zeal, because nothing can take away this incredible gift of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this Christmas season, it's busy and it's full and it's thousands of things going on and you know, mistakes made and struggles going on, and yet every day all we can do is rejoice. All we can do every day is just know. Whatever we face, there is hope for us. We have seen the things that are ahead. The light that you have set in our life is the light of Christ, the God who is with us, the God who has the strength in everything we face, the God who forgives us whatever mistakes we've made, the God who brings peace to us no matter what. We're so grateful for this, Lord. And as we celebrate Christmas this year, allow us to simply receive it. That's it. Not even saying, oh, you should do this or you should do that, Lord. We are here simply to receive this gift for this season. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.